Our first scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 119, verses 137 through 144. You are righteous, Lord, and your laws are right. The statutes you have laid down are righteous, and they are fully trustworthy. My zeal wears me out, for my enemies ignore your words. Your promises have been thoroughly tested, and your servant loves them. Though I am lowly and despised, I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is everlasting, and your law is true. Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands give me delight. Your statutes are always righteous. Give me understanding that I may live. Our second scripture reading is from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Zacchaeus the tax collector. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So Zacchaeus came down and at once welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the rest." May God bless these words to our hearts and minds, for these are God's words for God's people. Thanks be to God.
This week, as I was listening to a conversation on the radio, I was kind of fascinated because they talked about raising children. And how, no matter how many children you have in your family, they were raised by different parents. No. We all had the same parents. I can't help it. My brothers all turned out weird. I had perfect parents. So did they. I don't know what their problem was. But the reality they were saying is, you know, as you parent, as you go through life, life changes you. The experiences of the daily life change you. So you are actually a different person every day. Consequently, your relationship with your spouse changes. Your relationship with your children and your grandchildren changes. And so children truly aren't raised by the same set of parents. The younger have older parents, more experienced parents, parents who are different places in their relationship. Just like the older ones, you know, my mom used to say she grew up with my brother. She was so young when she had him, my oldest brother. She said, "We just kind of grew up together." She said, "I was actually a parent to the youngers because I was an adult by then." And I always kind of laughed. We always kind of laughed about it. But as I listened to this conversation, I thought, that makes so much sense. That change affects how we do things, affects how we interact with everyone every day. So no, your children weren't raised by the same parents. And all their complaints, well, they're just complaints. They were raised by good parents, but they were raised by different parents. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for traveling with us on this journey as we change and as we go through the ebbs and flows of life, as we add companions, as we lose companions, as we're joyful, as we are sad, as we make adjustments, because each day brings us new discoveries that we can carry with us until you call us home. And so, Lord, for that, we thank you for that continuous transformation. Amen. Our psalm today is what we call a teaching psalm. It's extraordinarily long. So be glad that I didn't have Gene read the whole thing. It has 176 verses. It is the longest verse count in the Bible. Scholars believe that this psalm, remember the psalms are read each Saturday night in the synagogue, or they're sung usually in the synagogue. They work their way through the psalms and then they start over again. And it's they're specifically used for teaching in the Jewish tradition. This one is written alphanumerically. It follows the Hebrew alphabet with each verse starting with the next letter. So it starts out with Aleph and then goes to Beth and works its way through. But even more interesting to me is that each verse also starts with that letter. So when you start with Aleph, which is their A, every verse until you get to Beth, which is their B, starts with the same letter. That's called an abecedary. It's a list written in alphabetical order. It would be memorized orally, and it would serve as a methodology for the Jewish families to learn their alphabet. But it also had another purpose. Remember, in the Jewish tradition, their laws are very important to them. And this particular psalm calls out all the components of Jewish law. So it presents God's law as they understood it in an orderly presentation. I don't know who wrote it, but it was a pretty amazing feat. Get all the laws in there, get it all in there alphabetically, and then get everything underneath every alphabetic letter to start with that same letter. It, to me, sounds overwhelming. And yet, they accomplished it now in 176 verses. So I'm pretty impressed. But it was a methodology for teaching the populace as they attended their services at the temple. The other thing that this psalm encourages us is to walk in the law and have a healthy heart. Put those laws into action and embrace them wholeheartedly. As Gene read the story of Zacchaeus from Luke, Zacchaeus was a peasant. He was born a peasant, but he had risen through the ranks to become the chief tax collector, and he was quite wealthy. And he hears that Jesus is coming to town, and that had to have made him curious because Jesus was also born a peasant and had risen through the ranks from a poor carpenter's son to a teacher of great notoriety. They had both experienced vast changes in their lives from their initial birthing situation to the situation they found themselves in today. Zacchaeus is curious about this Jesus guy who's coming to teach, and so he goes out and he gets a spot in a tree. Now you wonder, you don't think anything about kids climbing a tree, but why would a grown man climb a tree? Well, some have speculated that Zacchaeus was short. He was short in stature. He wasn't tall enough to see over the crowds. But I also wonder, since he was the chief tax collector, and the chief tax collector often would collect more than they were supposed to, they were really the purveyors of the oppression meted out on the populace by the Roman Empire. Then I often wonder if he climbed up the tree because that was a safer place for him than to be amongst the crowd, because he probably wasn't very well liked. He kept taking the coins out of people's purses and pockets and giving them to the Roman Empire. So it's quite likely that while wealthy, Zacchaeus was marginalized by his occupation. And that would fit with the way Luke, the Gospel of Luke, is written, because it tends to be about inclusion. Luke often tells and writes about people that are on the margins of society. and that they need, there needs to be an inclusion of those people. And the writer reinforces this when they give Jesus the words, hurry up and come down, for I must stay at your house today. The language of hurry reciprocates Zacchaeus' initial excitement in running ahead of the crowd, shinnying up that tree to see what this Jesus person is all about. And in fact, the writer uses the same Hebrew wording that is used when the shepherds are asked to hurry to Bethlehem, the Hebrew word that means haste. Do it quickly. Hurry. Professor Ira Driggers states it this way. The economic nature of Zacchaeus' repentance is also distinctively Lukean. Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. Of all the Gospels, Luke is the most interested in economic justice. Luke's Jesus condemns the accumulation of wealth and possessions at the expense of the needs of the poor. While the church is endowed with Jesus' spirit, ensures that none of its members go without, it's fitting then that Jesus' public ministry concludes on a note of economic justice. A small confession, and not to my beginnings, and the corrections I'm aware I need to make, comes from Zacchaeus. Professor Driggers continues, and finally, there is the theme of table fellowship, where we can infer that Zacchaeus is being welcomed, is welcoming Jesus into his home, and it implies social solidarity, solidarity set in motion by Jesus and consummated by the breaking of bread. And this, too, is a strong theme of Luke, tying together the threads of social inclusion, repentance, and the messianic banquet or communion. So when Jesus tells the disgruntled onlookers, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham, he's not only referring to Zacchaeus' vow of repentance. Yes, there is a correlation between Zacchaeus' repentance and his salvation, but it is Jesus who has come to this house. Jesus notices the distant outcast, and he enters into friendship with him. And through that friendship, shapes him into a true son of Abraham. Jesus models the behavior or acceptance and shares that God will do the same, regardless of our prior actions, based on our prior knowledge. If we will but walk with God in God's laws, and do that with a right heart. There's a beautiful book written in 1924 by Joan G. Thomas, and it's titled, If Jesus Came to My House. It's not about Zacchaeus. It's not about repentance. This children's book might, however, give us some insight into what Zacchaeus was thinking when Jesus said, hurry! Hurry down. Because in the book, a young boy wonders, what if Jesus knocked on my door? Would we be the same age? Would I share my best toys with him? Would I make him a cup of tea? It's a touching depiction of coming to terms with what it might mean to have Jesus in our lives, to have a friendship with Jesus, not just receiving Jesus, but giving oneself to Jesus. The book holds great potential for exploring what it means to welcome Jesus intimately and to live in that light of fellowship. And this is what Zacchaeus is being asked to do by Jesus. He's being asked to welcome Jesus into his life and to bring God's law to bear on the actions in his life, to stop exploiting the underclass, the marginalized. Zacchaeus is being called in this very long psalm to walk with God in a right-hearted manner. Amen.